Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
I was watching a news program, and there was a guy who was talking about the opioid crisis and you know, the fact that so many people are getting addicted to this stuff, and that a lot of times what we've decided is that the addiction is so radical that people just have a hard time with it. And so, you know, for example, you take heroin, and it's really easy to get addicted to heroin because of the high that it gives you and that kind of thing. One of the things that he mentioned that I thought was really cool was that they did some studies with rats. And with rats, you put them, basically this was back in the 70s, put a rat in a cage and you give him food and you give him water, plenty to fulfill his physical needs. And then you put coke or heroin where he has access to that. And what will happen is the rat will go after the coke or heroin, and he'll do it to the exclusion of food until he dies, until he starves to death, right? And so there was a researcher, you know, that's what a lot of the research is based on, that, you know, this stuff is so addictive. And then there was a researcher that looked at that and he went, well, that's not real world, because that's not what happens with rats. And so what he did was he took a rat and he put him in basically rat paradise. And so there were other rats that he could interact with, whether physically or socially. He could interact with other rats. And there were places for him to exercise, obviously all the rats that are in the cage, to exercise. And there was plenty of food and plenty of water and all that kind of stuff. And there was the drugs that were offered to them too. And the rats almost never took the drugs because they were living a fulfilled rat life. And so they didn't want the drugs. They didn't care about the drugs. And so that was a cool thing. And part of the thing, this guy wasn't a Christian, so part of the thing that the guy was talking about was that if you had a fulfilled life, then you're not likely to go to drugs. But when he was thinking of a fulfilled life, he was talking about all on the physical plane, just like a rat. And so rat sociology and rat physicality and rat exercise and rat, you know, this and that. And the problem with that whole thinking is those are rats. And that's not what we are. We're not rats. And so I can have physical relationships, and I can have emotional relationships, and I can have plenty of exercise and plenty of fun and plenty of food and plenty of drink and still have an unfulfilled life. And that's the problem with humanity. We have this unfulfilled life, and it's only really found when you get into a right relationship with Christ. And then all of a sudden you don't need the stuff anymore. You don't even care about the stuff anymore. And so I thought that was really cool. And in fact, I'm going to get that study and I'm going to use it routinely. Anyway, we are in chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles. Let's get into the word. Let's ask the Lord to bless it before we do that. God, again, we thank you, Lord, so much for what you've done in our lives, for the fact that you brought us into this relationship with you, for the fact that there's a fulfillment that we can have in you that just comes from you and you alone. And Lord, so many people are looking to fill their lives with something, just something that will make them feel better or do better or whatever. And Lord, ultimately, we were made to have a relationship with you. I like it that we're not rats. I like it that we can have a relationship with you and not have food and be joyful. And we can have a relationship with you and not have fellowship with anybody else and still have peace. I like it that we can have a relationship with you and not have a lot of the things that the world thinks is going to fulfill them. And we still have a peace and a joy and a usefulness. Lord, we know what we're here for, what we're made for. Lord, we got a hope, and it's because it's in you. Lord, as we're going through your word, we're getting examples and chronicles of people who walk in that hope and who walk in a relationship with you, and people who abandon it. And Lord, as we look at those things, we just pray, obviously, that we'd be men and women who follow you with our full heart and really go after you. And so as we're getting into your word, we pray that you bless it and that you'd speak to us. Thank you again, Lord, for what's been happening the last week and a half or so with Christmas and New Year's and all that. And Lord, we just want to commit this time into your hands and ask that you would be our teacher, and ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 30, we've been going through and talking about Hezekiah. And Hezekiah is one of the good guys in the Bible, actually one of the really good guys. He's actually one of the last two good kings of the nation of Judah. And in his days, God just used this guy to cause the people of God to turn back to the Lord. And he brought about revival because Hezekiah was faithful to the Lord and faithful to execute the works of God. And we talked about that in detail last time. When you're going through chapter 29 and then into chapter 30, you see that when Hezekiah comes into power, he purifies the temple. He goes through and he gets rid of all the idols in the land. He cleanses the temple. He rebuilds. Actually, he remodels it. You know, he goes through and does all of this stuff. And because of that, there's gladness in the people, amongst the people of Israel. And they begin to step up and begin getting involved in the work of God. And we ended in chapter 30 in verses 1 through 12. We went through and talked about that and talked about the fact that God was at work in not only drawing in the people of Judah, but he was drawing in the people of the northern kingdom too, northern kingdom of Israel. And it was during the time when the Assyrians were attacking. And it was at that time when the Assyrians were attacking that the northern kingdom of Israel was taken captive. So you had a bunch of people deported from the northern kingdom of Israel, actually taken captive, literally tied up, hooks in their jaws, basically taken out of the land and taken into captivity. And it was during that time, at that point, that Hezekiah is in power and begins drawing those people back into a relationship with God. And it's just a very cool thing. And so that's where we ended last time in verse 12. It says, again, also the hand of God was on Judah to give them singleness of heart to obey the command of the king and the leaders at the word of the Lord. And so you have this revival taking place. When revival actually takes place in a group of people, one of the things that's going to take place, that's going to be a result of that, is there's going to be true worship in the heart of believers. You guys know what revival is. Revival is not where a bunch of people get saved. Revival is where the church gets new life. And so there are people in the United States that are praying for revival right now. And obviously, I think that a lot of us are some of those people. But when you are praying for revival, you're not praying for a turnaround of the United States. That's not what a revival is. When you're praying for a revival, you're praying for life to come back into the body of Christ. You're praying for people to be more and more dependent upon the Lord and be people who actually do the things that God tells you to do. That's what a revival is. And so when a church is going along just basically on cruise control or something and doesn't really have a dependence on God, doesn't have a real desire for the word, doesn't have a real desire to share the gospel with the people who are around them, that's a dead church. That's a church that's messed up. That is not what we're supposed to be. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world, and a city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden." You don't take a lamp and stick it under a basket. I'm quoting from Matthew chapter 5. And a lot of times when you look at the effect of the church in the world, that's exactly what takes place. What we do is we kind of come in here and we sit here. And I'm using in here, you know, I'm not accusing you guys of doing this because I don't think that you do. But in churches, what generally happens is they come into their church and they have their just their little church meeting, and we do our little church thing, and it all stays right here, and we're all really churchy together. And then we go out and we say nothing to the people who actually need the stuff that we have to give them. And the reason that actually, you know, for at least half of us, the reason that we're here is because somebody told us about Jesus. And actually, I shouldn't say half of us, because that's true for every single one of us, even if you grew up in a Christian home. You're here because somebody told you about Jesus. But for about half of us, we're here because some Christian who didn't know us or didn't have that intimate of a relationship with us, had given their life to Christ, and they spread what had been given to them. They gave us what they had. And that's what's supposed to be happening with a Christian. Christians are not supposed to get the things of God and then just keep them to themselves and never pass it out to anybody else. It's nothing but greedy. And that's not what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be people who care about the people who are around us. When a church gets revived, that's what happens. When a church gets revived, they care about the people who are around them. They care about events that are taking place around them. And when you look at classic revivals, whether you're talking about revivals like this one that we've been dealing with in Chronicles, or you talk about revivals that have happened down through history, one of the things that takes place with a revival is that the culture gets changed and it becomes more God-honoring. And so when you talk about the Welsh revival, for example, over in England, the bars closed down. That's what a revival does. People actually get saved. It actually changes their lives. The bars actually close down. There's a stripper bar on my way home that's at the end of, what is it? I don't even know what the streets are. Gum and First, yeah. And so it used to be a couple other things, and now it's a stripper bar. And every time I go by that place, I'm just praying. I'm praying for the people that go to it. And, you know, I look to see how many cars are there and that kind of thing. You know, it just grosses me out. And so I look, and when I go by there and there's cars out front, I'm praying for the people who are involved. And obviously that includes the women and the guys who are in there ogling them and that kind of stuff. But it just makes me crazy that it's there. It makes me nuts that we got a culture where that's okay. And what God wants us to be are people that actually have an influence on the people who are around us. And an influence to the extent that, again, the culture actually changes. And there's a plethora of churches. There's churches everywhere. And lots of people are going to church. And I don't see the effects that the church should be having on the world that's around us. I don't see it. In fact, I see most of the time when I'm looking at what's going on with the church just in general in the United States, what I'm seeing is a bunch of compromise and a bunch of people who are playing games. And I don't even know why they're going to church. Because I wouldn't go to church. If I wasn't for real about Jesus, I wouldn't be here. I'd be going out and doing something else. And if I was going to come here and have a beer while I'm here, why would I have a beer here? I'd go have a beer someplace else where people are real. You know, I was just talking to the guys on Monday and my staff people on Monday. And one of the things that I've noticed about when I was in the world versus when I'm here is, and again, I'm talking about here as far as being Christian. I'm not talking about you guys, okay? Because I don't think that this is a huge problem here. But Christians are phony. We run into lots of people who say that they're following Jesus and they're phony. They're not really following Jesus. They're coming in, they're trying to look good in front of everybody else, and they're playing some kind of plastic Jesus game, but there's really no reality to it. And you can tell because when it becomes a choice between doing what they want to do and what the Bible actually says that they're supposed to be doing, what do they always pick? And when it comes to actually loving people the way that you're supposed to love them versus doing what you please, what do they always pick? And it's just that kind of thing. And I was just talking about some guys that I knew in school. I knew some pretty stupid people, but they didn't pretend to be anything else. They were just stupid. And so I knew stupid drunks, and I knew stupid dopers, and I knew just stupid people. You know, the example I was given was of a couple of brothers. I've talked about them before, Marvin and Roy Moe. And their family was just messed up. Their dad would go out and get blasted with them and that kind of thing. And one time, Marvin Moe comes to school and his hand's all bandaged up. I go, "What happened to you, Marvin?" And he goes, "Well, I hit a brick wall." And I go, "You hit a brick wall?" And he goes, "Yeah, me and my dad and my brother were having a contest punching a brick wall." And I'm like, "You're a moron and you own it." And I didn't say that to him, but you know, it's like he thought it was really cool and he thought it was really tough, and I thought he was a moron for doing something like that. Who would go and just pound on a brick wall? That's just dumb. But that's Marvin. And Marvin's just Marvin. And Marvin wasn't pretending to be anything else. He was just Marvin, right? And so you ran into guys like that. And I'm not saying that nobody is fake out in the world, because you do have that. But there was a lot of reality out in the world. And the reality that we need to be having here is not that we're playing a game where we're looking like we're following Jesus, or pretending like we're following Jesus, or trying to, you know, when we walk in the doors, trying to make everybody think that we're just like them. What we need to have here is a bunch of people who are actually following Jesus. And if you have a church that's actually following Jesus, there are going to be indications of that whole thing. And so there's going to be lifestyles that are absolutely changed. And that's part of what we're going to hit on as we're going through here. Lifestyles that are absolutely changed. When you looked at them when they were in the world, they were one way. And after they become a believer, they are absolutely another way. When you looked at them when they were in the world, they were espousing things of the flesh and things of the world. And when you look at them when they're in Christ, when they're in Jesus, all they can do is talk about how much they love Jesus and how much they love the Word and that kind of thing. You know what I mean? That's what I was involved in when I first got saved. A bunch of people who actually love Jesus and actually love the Word, and radical things were taking place because of that. And if we want radical things to take place in our lives, if we want to be used of God, then we're going to have to be people who are alive. We're going to have to be people who have the Holy Spirit work in our lives where he's, you know, in such a way that he's actually got control of us and the things that we do. And so when you see revival, you see consequences of revival. And that's what the next part of the passage is. Look at verse 13. Now many people, a very great assembly, gathered at Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the second month. They arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and they took away all the incense altars and cast them into the brook Kidron. Then they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought the burnt offerings to the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place according to their customs, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood received from the hand of the Levites. For there were many in the assembly who had not sanctified themselves. Therefore the Levites had charge of the slaughter of the Passover lambs for everyone who was not clean to sanctify them to the Lord. For a multitude of the people, many from Ephraim and Manasseh and Issachar, these are northern tribes, and Zebulun had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "May the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary." And the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. So the children of Israel who were present at Jerusalem kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing to the Lord accompanied by loud instruments. And Hezekiah gave encouragement to all the Levites who taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they ate throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. And so when you look at what took place after the revival that came because of Hezekiah's actions, first thing that you see again is the cleansing of Jerusalem. In verse 14, they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, took away all the incense altars and cast them into the brook Kidron. And so these are altars that were to foreign gods. They were altars that were outside of the temple precincts. Those things were not allowed. The only sacrifices that were to be done were inside the temple. And so they take all these altars away and they just go throw them in the creek, basically. That's what Kidron is. It's not a river like the Columbia. It's just a creek. And so they take it and throw it down in the valley and, you know, bust these things up. And that's one of the things that happens when somebody has a real encounter with Jesus. There are things in their lives that are contrary to what God would have, and they don't want them anymore, and they throw them away. That's what happens. And so in the New Testament, you have a situation in the book of Acts where a bunch of people get saved, and many of them are magicians. They're sorcerers. And so what they do is they take their books on sorcery and they make a bonfire out of it. They decide that they're going to do, you know, like we do on Christmas Eve. We just have a big bonfire. But this is of all their occultic books. And so they take and they trash them. When I got saved, one of the things that I had to decide about was what I was going to be listening to. And music was a big deal to me. It's not that big a deal to me anymore because now I have a wife who doesn't care about music. And so I turn the music on, she turns it down. I turn it back up, she turns it down. This has been happening for 35 years and I lost. And so, every once in a while I get on a music jag and I tell her to get her hands off the radio and that kind of thing, but she doesn't care. She just keeps going after it. But music was a big fat deal to me. So I had piles of, actually there were 8-track tapes. So remember 8-track tapes? So big old stacks of 8-track tapes. And when I gave my life to the Lord, and later on it became cassette tapes and that kind of thing. When I gave my life to the Lord, I had to make some decisions about the stuff that I was listening to because I knew what music did. I played games with that, but I didn't know what music did because my family was into country and Western music. This is why I don't like country and Western music, you guys. Because when we would listen to country and Western music, I know all the old songs. And so, take the ribbon from your hair, take it loose and let it fall. And I could go through the whole thing. I don't want to do the next lines. Anyway, I know the whole song, it's still in my head, and my parents would listen to this stuff all the time. And one of the things that I noticed after I became a Christian is that they were doing exactly what was in the songs. Whether it was talking about going out and getting drunk, or whether it was talking about cheating, or whether, all of that stuff. They were living their lives by what was being pumped into their ears. It was amazing. And then after I got older, I'm not listening to country and Western. I'm listening to rock and, soft rock and heavy rock. And, I had all kinds of genres and stuff and soul music. And I was just one of those guys. I was all over the page. And I'm listening to all this stuff. And I realized I'm living my life by this stuff. And I had to get rid of it. And so, God helped me out in some instances. There was this one point where, I'd committed my life to the Lord, and I had a bunch of these 8-track tapes in my car, and somebody busted in my car and stole my stereo and stole my 8-track tapes. And so when they were gone, I was mad that they were gone, but I was also glad that they were gone. And it was at that point that I went into my house, and I just decided, all this stuff's got to go. And so I had a bunch of albums and stuff like that I got rid of. And it was at that point. There were other things that I had to get rid of too. And so, basically when I committed my life to the Lord, I went through my house and there were things that had to go that didn't belong there anymore. And whether you're talking about media stuff, that kind of thing, there are things that need to go. They need to leave. And I still, even when I did that, I was under conviction that that needed to happen, but I still made excuses. And the reason that I like certain types of music was because I like the beat. I'm not even really listening to the words, man. I just like the beat. I like, it's just such a complex melody. And I had all the excuses that people come up with. I had every single one of those excuses. And so I stopped listening to that for a period of time, and I was just listening to Christian music. And one of the cool things about the times we're living in is you can get any genre of Christian music that you want to. There's really no excuse. And so I'm just listening to nothing but Christian music, and it blew me away because I worked in construction every once in a while, and I had control of the radio, so I could play whatever I wanted. And so I'm just listening to Christian music. All the guys are listening to Christian music, whether they wanted to or not, I didn't care. And there would be times when we're on a track and there's a job right next door to us and somebody's blaring out songs that I used to listen to, Steve Miller Band and all of that stuff. And I did not realize what the words were.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.